Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, looking to Plain Market Talk. Today is Wednesday, May 4, 2022. Okay, we'll talk about the Federal Reserve's big interest rate announcement this afternoon. Biggest interest rate increase in 22 years, which is what the media is focusing on. And yet the stock markets are surging on the news. Intuit owners of TurboTax have agreed to $141 million settlement. See what that's about. Last time I mentioned that we had an issue with a trader error caused a $1 billion drop in the financial markets in Europe. Actually happened on Monday. So I'll get to that today. It's what's known as a flash crash. And also a personal recollection to what happened on our trading floor years ago. So talk about why you got to be careful. All right, so we'll talk about that. Also, we've got apparently the stock market, although, you know, it was down the earlier part of this year. It turns out it was the worst first quarter of the year since 1939. So we'll see what's going on there, although things are now looking a little bit better. What else do we have? Big lawsuit involving one of Judy Garland's dresses from The Wizard of Oz. So see what's going on there. And as many of you perhaps know, today is Star Wars Day, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. I'm actually old enough to remember when the first Star Wars movie came out. I saw it on opening weekend with my brother. My brother was and still is a big science fiction fan. And I remembered it was like, you know, Christmas time, 1976. He'd gotten this magazine in the mail, science fiction magazine, and he was showing me pictures of this upcoming movie, Star Wars. You know, it's going to be coming in May of 77. And I remember looking at the pictures. It just looked totally different than anything I'd seen before. The ships were old, the equipment was old, and you know, everything we'd seen in science fiction movies always looked brand new. So anyway, we saw Star Wars on that Saturday of opening weekend. He still has the ticket stubs, and it was only, we were living here in Orlando at the time. It was only being shown in two theaters. It wasn't this big, massive release and hit right from the beginning, but it did quickly grow as more and more people wanted to go see it. So it's interesting from a business standpoint. Well, first of all, from a fan standpoint, there's always that debate between Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans, which is better. I happen to like them both. However, Star Trek fans do have something they do say to Star Wars fans. It's, you know what they say? Well, at least we don't hate half our movies. It's kind of true. But anyway, but here's the thing. From a business standpoint, Star Wars is owned by Disney. You probably know that. They bought Lucasfilms years ago. Star Wars is much bigger money-wise than Star Trek, at 5-10 times bigger probably. However, Star Trek is probably more important to its parent company than Star Wars is. Star Trek is owned by Paramount, which is owned by CBS. Disney is around 2.5 times, maybe 3 times bigger than CBS Paramount. So even though Star Wars is bigger, Star Trek is a bigger portion of the company than Star Wars is to Disney. So they're firing right back on the Paramount Plus streaming network they have. Tomorrow, I know, is the season-ending episode of Picard and the season premiere of their new series, Strange New World, which is a prequel to the original Star Trek series. So anyway, but happy Star Wars Day to any fans out there. Okay, so let's talk about the Federal Reserve. All right, I mentioned last time, Federal Reserve had their policy meeting today, Federal Open Market Committee meeting. It was a two-day meeting, and at 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern Time, they issued the Fed policy statement. And as anticipated, they announced they are raising interest rates 0.5%. So the markets actually surged on that news, and then we'll take a look at the Fed policy statement here in a minute. The reason... first of all, the markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished up 932 points. It's 4:37 in the afternoon Eastern Time now. Markets are closed. That was up 2.81%. The S&P 500 up 2.99%, NASDAQ Composite up 3.19%. Yet a market was anticipating a 0.5% interest rate increase, but they were afraid it could have been 0.75%. So, but they got what was expected, 50 basis points, 0.5% versus 75 basis points. All right, now the focus will turn on the upcoming inflation reports. And also, it will be turning now to the next Fed policy meeting, which is June 14th and 15th. Policy statement with interest rates would be announced on June 15th. Markets anticipating another 0.5% increase then, but we'll have to see. All right, so here's the Fed actual statement. The key with the Federal Reserve, they don't come out and say what they're going to do in the future, but you can read like between the lines what's called Fed talk. So again, if anybody's interested in looking at it themselves, go to federalreserve.gov. Click on monetary policy up top, click on meetings, and then click on the release for that date. All right, so here it is. I'm just going to read parts of it verbatim, but I'll then tell you what it means. All right. What it says here, quote, although overall economic activity edged down in the first quarter, household spending and business fixed investment remain strong. That is correct. The economy did shrink somewhat in the first quarter, but people are still spending. Business fixed investment means investing in things businesses will use for more than a year. It continues on here, back to the quotes. Job gains have been robust in recent months, and the unemployment rate has declined substantially. That is correct. We may be reaching a period now or a point where economists believe we may be at full employment with our economy. I will talk about that on an upcoming session. All right. Continuing on with the Fed statement, back to quoting. Inflation remains elevated, reflecting supply and demand imbalances related to the pandemic. That's true. It's a shortage of workers, still hard to get things moving on ships, shortage of truck drivers. And we're back to the quote, also related to higher energy prices, broader price measures. All right, the statement continues on by saying, again, I'm quoting, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is causing tremendous human and economic hardship, no doubt. The implications for the U.S. economy are highly uncertain. The invasion and related events are creating additional upward pressure on inflation and are likely to weigh on economic activity. In addition, COVID-related lockdowns in China are likely to exacerbate supply chain disruptions. That is correct. Entire Chinese cities are now locked down due to COVID. China obviously is a big manufacturer of a lot of things, and it could affect shipping, store shelves, all kinds of stuff. But here's the key. This sentence at the end of this second paragraph, I'm gonna go back to quoting, quote, the committee is highly attentive to inflation risk. That's actually an innocent statement that means a lot. Federal Reserve, what they're flat out saying is that's their main focus right now. It's not on growing the economy. It's not on providing jobs. It's fighting inflation. So the Fed then goes on. They talk about the interest rate increase. They refer to the federal funds rate. That's what one bank borrows from another overnight. They're raising that 0.25%. It's their target. But that translates to about 0.5% with the overall rates that it's called discount rates. It's got all kinds of things. But anyway. All right, here's the thing. The Federal Reserve did what the market expected it would do, 0.5% increase, and the markets have surged on that news. So now the focus will be on upcoming inflation reports and what else the Fed will do with its next policy meeting. TurboTax has agreed to a $141 million settlement. Apparently, they were advertising file for free with us. And I've seen those ads. And then I guess what happened is people would try to take them up on it and found out they had to pay, you know, $30, $40, $50, whatever it was. Apparently, if you make under $34,000 a year or you're in the military, you can file your taxes for free. I guess the IRS is a way to do that. An automated site, I mean, an online site. And I guess TurboTax didn't tell people that you had that option through TurboTax. And so anyway, they're going to have to pay back. It said $30 a year to each person that was unfairly charged. They said it's about 4.4 million individuals that filed taxes, individual or tax filers, we'll say families, whatever. So it wouldn't be everybody, but yeah, Intuit is the name of the company. They own three big financial products. They own it's actually a good budgeting app. You want to check it out, mint.com. You can download the app for iOS, Apple device, as well as Android. They also have something called QuickBooks, which has become standard accounting software for businesses, and also TurboTax. All right, moving on. Stock markets are down in the first quarter this year, although they have done a little bit better lately. Turns out it was the worst first 3 months for the year, at least measured by the Standard & Poor's 500 since 1939. So didn't realize it was that far back. But anyway, we got that. All right, a few more things. Wizard of Oz. Okay, so apparently another one of the dresses that Judy Garland wore, you know, for Dorothy, for the Wizard of Oz, has now been discovered. And it is going up for auction. But there is a big lawsuit now over who actually owns it. All right. First of all, before we get to that, you know, I've been involved with funding of movies. We'll talk about that flash crash also. I found out from funding movies over the years, I was involved with years ago, a lot of mistakes in movies. I just never paid attention. And apparently The Wizard of Oz. So if you ever see The Wizard of Oz, the scene where Dorothy first comes up on the Scarecrow, you know, he's hanging up on that thing. Apparently that was the first scene filmed for the movie, and the producers were still trying to decide how long Judy Garland's wig would be, you know, the pigtails. So next time you watch the movie, every time they go from the Scarecrow back to Judy Garland, her hair is changing length. I mean, drastically. It's like, wow, I never noticed that. Also, the scene where they come up on the apple trees, you know, where they like, what do you mean my apples are rotten? And the apple trees start throwing the apples at Dorothy and the Scarecrow, and maybe the Tin Man was with them then. You watch that closely. In one cut of it, one angle, Judy Garland is no longer wearing the ruby slippers. She's wearing black slippers, so that somehow slipped through also. All right, but anyway, back to the dress. Yeah, apparently the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., they found the dress. I guess it was in some storage room. It's been verified to be real. This is one of the actual dresses used. It's going up for auction on May 24th, expected to get between $800,000 and $1.2 million. However, apparently a priest associated with the university who died years ago, his niece is suing, saying that that dress belonged to him personally. It did not belong to the church or the university in this case. So it's apparently it's a lawsuit involved in that. So we'll have to keep an eye, see what's going on there. All right, so we got that news. All right, and then also I wanted to talk about this flash crash. All right. Yeah, the thing is, in the financial industry, particularly the brokerage industry, if you're a lower-level employee, there's a limit to how much money you can actually move around or access. So your chances of making a mistake are limited. But when you start getting up to higher levels, there's almost no limit to what you can do. And big mistakes can happen. It's also called the fat finger mistake, where you know somebody with their fat fingers or big fingers, but they call it the fat finger mistake. But anyway, it's probably not even politically correct anymore. We'll call it the big finger mistake. You hit two keys at once and make a mistake. All right, so here's what it's saying. U.S. banking giant Citigroup on Monday took responsibility for the flash crash, which saw some European stocks turn sharply lower. I think it was $1 billion in value. The markets went down. It particularly hit the Scandinavian markets, Sweden, perhaps Norway, and so forth. All right, Citigroup or whatever, I'm still the old name, Citicorp. Their quote is this: on Monday, one of our traders made an error when inputting a transaction. Within minutes, we identified the error and corrected it. All right. The one thing about these, though, they usually show up immediately. You know, they're noticeable. It's almost like you're cooking in a kitchen and you walk away and your whatever you're cooking catches on fire. And then all the alarms start going off. Well, it's kind of like that with traders. Some big mistake, we all notice it immediately and we can fix it. To give you, as we wrap it up, though, one thing I remember on trading floor, I was on in the early 90s. All right, without getting too complicated, here's how we would do it, especially if we're dealing with stocks. If I was going to make buy into a stock for my trading firm, say I was going to buy 100,000 shares of a $53 stock. All right, that's a $5.3 million transaction. Well, number one rule of being a trader is you never take big losses. So what we would do is we would buy put option contracts. That gives us the, I would have bought put options in this case at probably $50 a share. it gave me the right, but not the obligation, to be able to sell that stock at $50 a share for the length of the contract, however far out in the future it went, no matter how low the stock went. So no matter how far the stock went down, I had limited my losses to $3 a share, or $300,000 loss on a $5.3 million investment, which I was willing to absorb that for the firm. But buying those put option contracts costs money. So then what we would do as traders, many of us, we would then sell what are called covered call contracts, say at 60, where we're giving somebody else the right to buy the stock from us at 60. Now, they wouldn't want to do that if they could buy it on the market at 53, but if it went above 60, yeah, they would do that. So they would pay us for that privilege, which we would then use that money to partially pay for the puts. So when you look at it, I bought the stock at 53. Lowest price I could end up selling it, that's 50. Highest price would be 60. I limited my losses to $3, but gave myself $7 potential profit on the upside. See how it begins to work out? Now, I was personally a little more aggressive as a trader, so I didn't actually write covered calls on all my position. I might only write them on 50,000 of the 100,000 shares. So I took in less money to pay for the puts, but I also left myself a potentially unlimited profits on the other 50,000 shares. All right, so that's basically how it works. All right, so here's the last story. Years and years ago in the early 90s in New York, we had the number one rule we would have in that case, you always buy the puts first. You buy the insurance first. But some traders got kind of sloppy. I mean, I always did it first, bought the puts first, then the stock, and then I'd sell the covered calls third. I used to use 4 computer screens back then. All right, so anyway, I overall markets, stock market, option market, bond market, so I did it. All right, anyway, back to our stuff. Okay, so I had this trader friend named Mike, good guy, really knew his stuff, but he got a little sloppy. So what he did, he went out and bought, we'll say 100,000 shares, we'll just say $53. I don't know what he at. But anyway, let's say that. He did that first before buying the insurance, the put option contracts. Should have done it the other way. Then pizza was delivered. They used to feed us a lot for free on trading floors. All right, so here's what happened. He turns around to get a couple of slices of pizza. Then he goes, spins the chair back around to buy the put option contracts, and the stock had been halted, trading halt, which halted the option trading also. Okay, great. He's got 100,000 shares, $5.3 million investment on a stock that has been halted pending major news. And the news came out, it was an accounting irregularity, and the stock plummeted. It reopened at $32 a share. He's looking at a potential $1.9 million loss on a $5.3 million investment. Luckily, for him, the stock did bounce back some, and he was able to make it back with other stocks over the next couple of days. But we all got a reminder, buy the puts first, the insurance, then the stocks. But anyway, all right, so we're going to wrap things up for today. Hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bell. Talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.